Good morning, boys and girls. We've come to the last study of the verse that we have been looking at in our little assembly talks. It's Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus, and they are worthy, therefore, of our most careful consideration. We've come to the last study, and I would like you to listen carefully to the arguments I set forth as to why you should give thought to your soul and its salvation.
No other business will reward us as will a right attending to the interests of our souls. The man who heeds the gospel, and who, by the grace of God, considers his soul, will, as a result of a right considering of what it is the gospel has to say to him, save his soul from hell, will become an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven, will enter into a right relationship with God, in which God looks on him as his son, and grants to him the privilege of instant access to his throne at any time. Furthermore, he has the assurance of God's word that no matter where he is or what he's doing, God's eye will be upon him. And those legitimate activities that he engages in, placing them, of course, second to the interests of his soul, but those activities that he engages in to the pleasing of God, God will bless. He'll bless him in his field. He'll bless him in his home. He'll bless him in his children. He'll bless him in his wife. There's not a thing but will bring God's blessing upon that man if he gives right application to the interest of his soul. The Psalm 31, the verse 19 reads, O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. How great is the goodness of God that belongs to the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who cares for their soul as God would have them care for it. If somebody were to say to you, come here a moment, and I'm talking to the boys and the girls here, and they said to you, I want to give you a little gift, and they handed you a nice leather bag, just a small, soft leather bag. You shook it and rattled and jingled, and you opened it, and there were more gold coins than you could count. Would you just drop it into your school bag and carry it around with you every day? You wouldn't. First of all, I'm sure you'd tell Mum and Dad, look what I have been given. And then you'd listen to the advice that they would give you. For they would say, well, listen, you've got to put that in a safe place, and there's no safer place than a bank. You see, that's what it means to look after your soul. Put it in a safe place. Commit your soul to the Lord. The safest place for your soul, he never drops anyone who's in his hand. And no one can take anyone out of his hand. Oh, how safe you are. If you commit your soul to the Lord, that's looking out for the interests of your soul. That's what you do when you recognize the value of your soul. You come to Christ and you say, Lord Jesus, save my soul from loss. Save my soul from loss. Oh, what riches belong to those who commit their souls to Christ. One last thing, and it's this. And this should help us to really come to a right understanding of the value of the soul. Because it's clear from our text that the Lord Jesus puts no value on this world. He puts no value on this world. That's what is clearly said here. There's no value placed upon the world by the Lord here. No value at all. Just notice, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? The world is worthless. The soul is beyond putting a value upon. That's what the Savior is saying. And you know, it's very clear that that is how the Lord views the world. Nothing shows the difference between man and God more clearly than does this very matter. The view that man takes of the world and the view that God takes of the world, they're as far apart as you can put them. As far apart as you can put them. You know what a stock exchange is? It's a place where those with money to invest invested in industries and properties. They buy into, they buy stock in an industry. Now, I wouldn't have a clue if I had £1 million to invest, how to invest it. Because I wouldn't know which properties, which companies, which industries are doing well and whose future is bright from those that could be closed up and bankrupt next week. I wouldn't know. So I'd have to be very careful what I did with this money that I hoped to invest. You know what I'd do? I'd have a look at what those who knew all about this business were doing. Where were they investing? And you know, that's a common practice. The wise watch where those men who have made fortunes on the stock exchange, they watch them. Where are they moving their money? What are they buying into? Because they know the way the market's going. And they know where there's money to be made. So if they're going in that direction, the chances are that's a good direction to go in. Now, if God puts no value in the world, wouldn't you be a queer fool to spend your whole being in investing in the world? God, who knows all things, puts no value in the world. Why would you put a value on it? You're going to lose your everything. Because you see, all that is ahead of the world is bankruptcy and worse. So take note of the fact that in our text, the Lord places no value on the world. He didn't place any value on the world when he was here. Did the Savior go around buying houses or farms or buying wardrobes and filling them with suits of clothes? Did he? No, he didn't. He said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Don't you count these things of any importance, Lord? No, I don't. I don't put any value on them at all. But rather, I say, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. The devil took him one time when he was tempting him and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these things will I give you. It wouldn't be right for me to say the Savior laughed at him, but he clearly showed his disdain of the devil's offer. He thought nothing of it. Not for a moment. The glories of the kingdoms of this world meant nothing to Christ. He wasn't in the slightest tempted in that manner. And you know, many of his chief servants have shown this same disposition. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Paul the Apostle, when he came to die, all he had to talk about was a cloak. He didn't write out a will and say, you know, the farms I have here and there and yonder, and the houses I have down by the seashore, here's what I want done with them. No, he had none of these things. He counted the world but lost. He wouldn't have thought himself being enriched if he had possessed many things in this world. Because like his master, he didn't place any value on the world. Elijah didn't have much. John the Baptist didn't have much. And I would say with all of God's great servants, they really didn't have much of this world's goods. The enemies of God and those who will endure damnation, they, on the other hand, have much of this world. They count it wonderful. And they'll do anything. They'll lie, they'll steal, they'll murder to get this world. They put a great value on it. But they're going to hell. And they're going to hell because they put the world and its interests before their souls. They'll murder to get possessions and think that that's a good thing. And they'll not care that they have violated the law of God and offended God and brought his wrath upon their head. That doesn't count for anything. I've got the world. I've got something as a result of my murder. That's the way wicked men think while they're alive. I can tell you their thinking changes once death comes. The Lord doesn't place much regard upon this world. And nothing shows that more than the fact, you know what God's plan is for this world? He's going to burn it up. He's going to burn it one day. 2 Peter, very quickly, and with this we'll close. 2 Peter, the chapter 3, the verse 7. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All that men have fought over, longed over, lusted for, will be turned to ashes. That's why the Lord Jesus says, don't invest your all in this world. Don't invest your all, because it'll cost you your soul, and you'll have no profit for it in eternity. Your soul is in your keeping. What you will do in the light of what I have preached to you with your soul, whether you will come to Christ and ask Him to save your soul from everlasting damnation and turn your back on the world and walk with God, or whether you will give in to the old carnal thoughts and the old lusts of the heart that pants after this world and its empty pleasure, what you will do is your choice. May the Lord help you to make the right choice regarding your soul.
Well, boys and girls, that ends the study of Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 26. I trust it has profited your soul, and that if you're saved, you're rejoicing in the wisdom God gave you when you trusted the Savior with your soul. And if you're not saved, well, please come to Christ. Don't delay. The Lord bless you until we meet again. Goodbye.